Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Phase Zero's Road to Deadpool 3 continues the X-Men rewatch marathon. We're back on track with X2 today. This is recap, review, discussion, all the things X2, X-Men United on BD, joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
We got Jamie Jurek.
Monday morning.
Ooh, we got Aaron Preem.
What's going on, everybody?
A lot's going on because it's X2 day, everybody. Yeah, you welcome to the program. If you have missed it, we already did the first X-Men movie. There is a X-Men discussion and recap. It might be a little further down the podcast feed because we've done quite a few episodes since then. There was a little spider, well, not a spider movie, a little movie that came out. We did a few episodes about that. We had some fantastic news along the way. Thank you. And now it's time for X2. I think we might just roll straight into X3 for next week because we don't have a bonus episode for now. Let's just, are you guys down? Are you guys down to just roll straight into X2?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I really hope they make that movie. After watching X2, I'm like, wow, there's so much setup here. I really hope I get to see where the story goes. And I bet whatever X3 ends up becoming is going to be amazing, right? There's no way that movie's not fantastic.
So much potential.
So much potential for X2. We're going to start with X2. You know the drill. We're gonna recap the movie. By we, I mean Jamie. And then we're going to do a little detailed discussion, and then we'll give it a little 10 score and then a phase zero ranking with the average of our scores at the end of today's episode. So at that point, save your 10 scores. Drop them in at the end. We want to hear what you all think of X2 as well. Thanks to everybody who rewatched and is joining us to watch this discussion. All right. Without further ado, the moment you've all been waiting for, Jamie Jurek, it's your time. It is
okay.
Your time.
I gotta be honest. I'm a little nervous about this one because even I've seen this one probably the most, but so much happens, like, jumping around. There's so many characters to follow. Because I don't prepare for this, there's a good chance I'm going to do this out of order. And I just want you guys to be ready for that. I hope that that's okay. But are we ready?
As I'll ever be.
Yeah.
All right. We start Charles voiceover talking about mutation, just like the first movie. Bam, we've got the opening credits. All of a sudden, here we are. The movie starts. The White House. So we're getting a White House tour. But there's a mysterious man in a trench coat. Who could he be? He looks like someone who shouldn't be in the White House. All of a sudden, attack mode. Whoosh-hoo, he's floofing here. Whoosh-hoo, he's floofing here. If you know comics, you know this is Nightcrawler. It's an amazing action scene. All the Secret Service is going after him. He's here. We're safe. Oh, no, he's not here. Oh, and then all of a sudden, he gets into the Oval Office. He's right on top of the president. He's got a knife, but oh, a Secret Service agent shoots him just in time. He poofs away. The knife falls down, and we see that it says, Mutant Freedom. Cut to a snowy Alaska. Logan is searching for something. He's looking around. What could it be? It seems as though he's finally gotten to his destination. He is in Canada. He's in Alkaline Lake. What is this place? He's looking around, but whatever it is now destroyed. You can tell by his sad face that the end of his journey has come. He still does not know who he is. Oh, look, there's a wolf. That's random. All of a sudden, the wolf transforms into a museum wolf. We call that editing. And now we're in a museum. Looks like Professor X and all the teachers are taking the kids on a field trip. It looks like a natural history museum. And they're learning stuff. Everything is going down. We're checking in. Oh, Storm's here. Jean and Scott are here. And you know what? Something's going on with Jean. I don't know what is going on with this girl. But her powers, they're getting a little crazy. Scott's like, I'm worried about you. You used to have to concentrate to move a chair, and now you shake when you sleep at night. A whole room shakes. Oh no, what could be happening? And then, meanwhile, the cool kids, the older kids, the popular kids are hanging out in the museum food court. That we got Bobby, we got Rogue, we got, oh, John Pyro, you may know him from a little movie trailer called Deadpool and Wolverine. They're messing around, but then these big bullies come by, and they're like, hey, you're Rogue, you're hot, what's going on? And they're like, leave us alone. But, a fight ensues, and all of a sudden, Pyro powers. Then we've got Iceman powers, and then all of a sudden, Freeze powers. Professor X steps in, and he's like, okay, we're in a museum. This isn't good. We're all frozen. Let's get the heck out of here. And they're like, bye-bye. All right, and now we're back at the White House, and the president has called in one Senator Kelly, but we know from the last movie that Senator Kelly is dead. That's really Mystique. Don't forget about what happened in the last movie. And he's like, we need to do something. You used to hate the mutants, but now you like mutants. That's suspicious. It's because you're not really Senator Kelly, is it? And but then what's this guy? We've got another man here. That is William Stryker. You know him. You hate him. He's here, baby. And he's like, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about this mutant problem. And he's like, look, I've got all these facts. Look at this school. They've got a jet under the basketball court. That's real sus. And he's like, don't worry. I know how we can get there. I have Waze.
Got the Waze app on his phone. And he used better internet than Jamie to download it.
Oh, no.
He's back.
I'm back. Okay. So, and then Senator Kelly... Fake Senator Kelly shakes this woman's hand. He's like, what a handshake. And that's because we find out later who she is, but I won't spoil it yet. And then, so all of a sudden, we got Stryker. He's going into Magneto's cell. He's been putting something in his neck to get into his brain and get him to talk, and he reveals where Xavier's school is. That's not good. He's turning on his friend, but it's not his fault because he's getting brainwashed. And then there's a security guard there who's a real asshole, but I bet he's gonna get kind of to him later. And then back at the school, all of a sudden the kids are hanging out, and then we hear vroom vroom, and Rogue's like, yay, Logan's home. And Logan comes in, and Iceman's like, oh, I'm Rogue's boyfriend. And Logan's like, oh yeah, how does that work? Which is a really inappropriate thing to ask teenagers. And they're like, we're working on it. And he's like, okay, cool. And then Scott and Professor X, they're like, listen, we have to go figure some stuff out. Jean and Storm have to go find this guy who attacked the president. It's weird. He's flooping around. I'm having trouble finding him, but we think we can send him, which means, Logan, can you watch the kids tonight? And he's like, sure, dude. And so then it's at night. And meanwhile, Storm and Jean, they go to find this guy, and it's Kurt. And he's so cool. He's a mutant, and he's blue, and he used to be in the circus. And he also has this like really interesting fascination with religion, and there's a lot going on here. And he's like, I did not do it on purpose. I can't do it. And I'm not gonna try. He's like, I didn't do it on purpose. They got in my head, and they're like, oh, come with us. And then meanwhile, Scott and Professor X are going to see Magneto, and they're like, what's going on? He's like, and Magneto's like, I'm so sorry, Charles. They made me do it. Oh no, what's gonna happen? Come back to the school. We got Bobby and Logan chilling out in the kitchen, and Logan's like, you got any beer? And he's like, this is a school. He's like, okay, get some soda out of the cabinet. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna ice that soda. Who? And it's really kind of weirdly sexy, this scene. And then they're just chatting, and he's like, my parents live in Boston, and they don't know that I'm a mutant. And he's like, oh man, that's so sad. And then all of a sudden, boom, the school's being attacked. What's going on? Oh no, all the students, there's chaos. Things are happening. The girls running through walls. We probably know who that is. And then all of a sudden, Colossus is also there for some reason. Oh yeah, he's there too. He's watching kids, and they're getting all the kids through the tunnels. But then all of a sudden, Logan sees Stryker, and he's like, something is jogging in his memory, but he's not quite sure what. And Stryker's like, Logan, I did something to you. And Logan's like, what? But then all of a sudden, Bobby uses his ice powers to put a block through them. And Logan's like, no, I needed the truth. Let me stay. And Rogue's like, but we need your help. So then all the kids are somewhere, but John, Bobby, Rogue, and Wolverine, they get into Scott's car, and they're like, we're driving away. And the NSYNC plays on the radio, and they find this weird phone, and they're like, let's go to Boston. Cool. And meanwhile, all the kids, they get kidnapped. They are kidnapped by Stryker. And so All this is going down. They're figuring it out. Back in Boston, we meet Bobby's parents, and Rogue and Bobby finally kiss, and it's like, yay, they can kiss. Oh, she's got ice coming out of her mouth. And then all of a sudden, Bobby's parents come home, and it gets a little awkward because he has to come out to them as a mutant. And she's like, have you ever tried not being a mutant? And then what? And then they're like, what kind of professor are you, Logan? We're gonna use like art. And so lies are being told, truths are being told. And Bobby's little brother, he hates it. He's so jealous. He's jealous that his brother can do Iceman things. So he calls the cops and he says, there are rogue mutants in my house. So the cops come and a big showdown comes out and Logan gets shot in the head. But no worries because they get rescued. Now the teams are coming back together. We've got Jean and Nightcrawler and Storm and everybody. Now they're all on the ship and they're like flying and they're like, yay, we're saved. But oh no, now they're in bad airspace and they're whatever's happening. They get shot down. Rogue almost flies out of the plane, but Nightcrawler saves her. It's really intense. They're about to crash. But then here's what happens. They get saved because, backtrack a little bit, Magneto, he got rescued from his cell because what happened was Rogue, or Mystique, turned into Rebecca Romijn and flirted with, remember that mean security guard I was telling you about? Well, he got duped. He got drugged and he got iron in his blood. And next time he came in to see his cell, Magneto was like, something's different. A lot of iron in your blood. Sucked out all the iron. He's now got metal back in his powers. He's escaping. And here's the thing. Don't trust a beautiful woman, especially if she's interested in you, dumb security guy. So that guy's dead. So they're out. So now here's the thing. Here's where the title comes in. X-Men 2 United. Magneto and Mystique save everybody in their crashing plane. They're all coming together. They're united. Now they're in their woods. They're figuring out the plan. They're like, listen, Stryker has got Professor X. Something's going down. We got to save them. And then all of a sudden, Jean and Logan have a little scene. And she's like, listen, Logan, girls don't go for the bad guy. They married the good guy, but they're going to kiss anyway. And then it's like, oh, don't make me do this. And then he's in his little tent, really dealing with the moment. And then she comes back in and they make out steamily, but up turns out it's Mystique. She's messing with his head. It turns into Storm. She turns into Rogue. And he's like, I can't look at these women sexually. This is uncomfortable. And then they're like, okay, we've got a plan. And so now we're all going to come together and we're going to stop this Stryker from whatever his plans are. And so they're all going to rescue everybody. But a lot of stuff goes down here. Okay. So well, first of all, Wolverine's like, this place is familiar. Maybe this is where I got the adamantium put in my body. I don't know. Oh, I'm going to fight this woman. That's right. Remember that woman I talked about before? That's Deathstrike. She's got claws in her fingers. And now they're going to do this fight. Meanwhile, Scott, he's got that manipulated thing in his brain. You know, just like Magneto had. So he's shooting at Jean. That's a lot of his life. But no, they're fighting. Things are crumbling down because of this. But somehow she managed to snap him out of it. So now Scott's good again. Meanwhile, the real plan's unfolding. They've got Professor X in there, and what Stryker is doing is he has a son. His name is Jason, and he's a mutant too. And but he wanted Professor X way back when to cure him. You can't cure a mutant. Well, at least not in this movie, you can't. And so he's using Jason to get into Professor X's mind to make a second Cerebro so they could go in and kill all the mutants. Oh no! So everything's going down. He's like trying to kill all the mutants. And meanwhile, everyone, all of our mutant friends are like, oh, my brain, it's hurting. It's so bad. But then luckily Magneto and Mystique get in there and Mystique pretends to manipulate Jason now, and now it's like, kill all the humans. And it's like, oh, now it's a reverse, but we don't want to kill all the humans either. They may be a problem. We don't want everybody to die. So now everyone's fighting. The whole building's crumbling down. Water's gushing through. The kids are still kidnapped, but then they get them, and one of those kids, oh, Jubilee name drop, what? And then everything, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Finally, though, it's all works out. It's resolved. They're escaping. They're getting out of there. Logan Loon learns a little bit of truth, but not enough truth, but he realizes his truth is with the X-Men. It's okay if he doesn't know everything. And Stryker's now all chained up, and his face is smooshed, and he's about to die. And they're leaving everyone. It looks like all the kids, everyone's rescued. Everything's going to be happy. But oh no, the water, it's gushing further. What's going to happen? Jean Grey says, I must do this. And this is where her crazy new power set comes in because it turns out she knows something that we don't know. And she's there and she's like, goodbye. And then she gets gushed. Flooded and she drowns and she dies and Scott's like no and Logan's like no and everyone's so sad and she's dead and they're back now at the school and it's like oh man our friend is dead and that's really sad but then at the very end we see the water and we overhear Jean's voiceover. It's the same voiceover that Professor X says at the beginning of the first X-Men and what is this a shadow in the water could that be the shadow of a phoenix X2
Bravo.
Thank you. 10 minutes. I gotta get shorter. I don't know. I think I'm going too long.
There's too much to summarize. Good job, Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Snaps for Jamie. Snaps for Jamie. Everybody in the comments, share your love for that incredible recap. This is free, people. You just got that. All you had to do was click a link. That was free.
I like to imagine that there's at least one person, because like I know I've listened to movie podcasts where I haven't seen the movie people are talking about. I like to imagine there's at least one person who has never seen these movies before and is just going off of Jamie's recap. And like I'm so jealous of that person. They're living a great life.
Yeah. Wow. Big Zero, the fact that we don't charge hundreds of dollars per episode, what a gift. Jamie, great job. I just rewatched the movie, but also I feel now again refreshed after hearing that recap. You were worried about missing details and going out of order. I think you were pretty on top of it, right down to the Jubilee name drop. We have we have quite a few things to discuss about this film. We're gonna take a quick little break, real quick. Give everybody a second to breathe, to remember the film that they just got dumped on them in such incredible fashion. What a recap. We'll take, when we come back, we're going to talk about the film, just talking points, Easter eggs, all that kind of stuff. And then we have our out of 10 scores at the end of our X2 review. This is full spoilers. We'll see you in a moment.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Phase Zero's X-Men Marathon Rewatch, The Road to Deadpool 3. We're on X2, X-Men United, and we're talking full spoilers. Obviously, this movie's like 20 years old now, so that's fair. But wonderful recap by Jamie to start the show. We got some talking points to dive into. I've got a few written down. If you guys have anything, please just throw it in here. I want to start at the beginning of the movie. That opening scene in the White House was fantastic with Nightcrawler. I thought, like, it, after watching Wonder Woman 1984, more recently than this, I have not watched X2 in years. I was like, wow, some crazy stuff has happened near that Oval Office. But this not only felt like, okay, maybe Wonder Woman 1984 looked at this. I don't think Wonder Woman 1984 looked at this. I think they just were telling their story. But one thing I do think might have looked at this was the Quicksilver scene in X-Men Days of Future Past. Because in watching the sequence where he's taking out all the security guards and all that, and it starts going into slow motion, obviously a very different power. But I did get kind of vibes of that Quicksilver scene, which is one of the most iconic, you know, action sequences, mutant ability scenes. And I just think this was a brilliant way to open the movie. It reminds you of the tone of this film, which we talked about for the first X-Men movie. And I love it. I love this sequence.
I agree. I think it is such a cool way to just introduce a character. Like, I feel like we very rarely get moments like these in superhero movies of just introducing through action. And I think this is such a cool way to, as Jamie eloquently described in the recap, like showcase his powers and everything. I love how Bamf is usually how his powers are shown in the comics, but like what Jamie said needs to be canonized as well.
Floof?
Yeah.
The Night Flooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great way to open the film. I think that, as a kid, I was terrified of Nightcrawler because of this scene. This scene stuck with me.
This is one of my favorite openings of any movie ever. I love this opening. Are we? But I don't know what people think about this movie. Do you guys like it? Like, we didn't say how we feel.
I figured we would just save it for the review portion. We usually do reactions at the top, and then we save our 10 score. Do you guys want to just go reactions and then 10 score later?
I don't know.
Oh, this is you have to decide.
I mean, we can share reactions. We can go around. I think this movie's phenomenal. Plain and simple. Jamie, what do you think?
Well, I've just been waiting to drop this bomb on everybody because I've teased it before and people have been waiting. This is my favorite Marvel movie of all time. And that includes any MCU movie. This is my number one Marvel movie. I love this movie very much. It was my first big obsession. When I was in middle school, I saw it so many times in theaters and I think it holds up beautifully. It is so well paced and I love these characters and it just makes me very, very happy, this movie.
I have to agree with you.
I agree. I think it is just so, so much fun. I think like it is easily one of my favorites out of the Foxverse movies, like by far. But I think it's just in terms of character work and in terms of just like extrapolating what the X-Men are, I think this movie really, really hits the nail on the head. Rewatching it after so many years is kind of wild. It is funny watching this in a post-Succession world and hearing Brian Cox's accent because it is very different than it was when I first watched this movie. But yeah, it is just, it's so enjoyable. It's such a great time.
Not nearly enough F-offs from Logan Roy. Aaron, what do you think?
I haven't watched this in forever, so It was kind of fun to revisit it. I really enjoy it. I think what marks it to me is that there's so much other setup for the next one and nods to the first one. And I think that that is a byproduct of being from before all these things had to interact with each other so that there is more time to breathe. You don't have to worry about other things. And I do have trouble wondering if I like it because I am old or if it's actually good. There is a weird level of, I suppose. I can't be unfair because I asked it about everything that's from like that time period. It's like, I really love that. Like I'm never gonna have that much free time again. So of course I'm like, oh yes, burned into my brain. But it is also a really good movie, effectively plotted, you know, the set pieces be set piecing, as it were. I just don't know what the gasoline budget was for that scene outside of Bobby's house. There are some real I do have some other questions that we can get to later about some of this stuff because also, tragically, it feels like it could have literally been written about right now, and it's from 2003 or whatever, which is kind of weird. So, yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the gasoline budget and just some of the effects in that sequence. So just generally in this movie, it's clearly very practical stuff that's used. I mean, they really made tornadoes for Storm in that sequence, which is probably the most impressive thing. But, no, I mean... Watching it back, I was like, man, this holds up for me, A, because I loved it when I watched the first time, but also in rewatching it and just being present, not having my phone out, just paying full attention to the movie for a rewatch, it just feels like we overdo some of this stuff in some instances in all blockbuster films now, where this simple stuff, I think the pendulum might start swinging back. Like, I'll tell you what, watching Dune, which Jenna also just watched Dune. Have you guys seen Jamie Aaron? Have you guys seen Dune yet?
Nope.
Not till Thursday. I have tickets for Thursday.
Okay. Well, Jenna, you might be able to vouch for this. Some of the stuff in Dune, obviously there's incredible visual effects and computerized stuff in that, but there's stuff they did practically that's just so astonishing. Like the worm stuff. Like the worm sequence.
Yeah. I rewatched part one, like before seeing part two, and just like how tactile that movie is and how much like texture and just physical sets and everything. And like, I wrote this on Letterboxd, but just like after so many years now of having the volume just be the default for everything and VFX and CGI, like it is so refreshing to just have this practicality.
Exactly. And so then bringing that back to X2, it's like when you do the practical stuff, when you actually have Hugh Jackman wearing the claws or these police cars actually being lifted by explosions that are presumably mostly real, and there's real flames, not computerized flames. The other parts where he's shooting the flames out of his hands, you kind of are in it more, right? I mean, I going back to this time was fun, man. I think the pendulum's going to swing back a bit, and this is just a day after we found out the Thing is going to be motion capture in Fantastic Four. But hey, that's a whole separate conversation. We'll save that for Wednesday, and you'll have to hear where we fall on that on Wednesday's show. But yeah, I mean, I think that the practical effects in these movies are brilliant. And the way that they use all these powers, like we're seeing right now, Rogue, you know, touching Pyro to make him stop. And all of it, I think that it was so well executed. What else we got? Oh, another note that I had here was they kind of did a really good job of balancing these stories for characters of different ages. Like you have the more mature characters like like Wolverine, Jean, and Scott, and then you have the teenage characters like Rogue and Bobby and Pyro, and it like just when they interact, it's kind of like Jamie said, kind of weird for him to ask a question like that, but also like Bobby coming up and being the like the Iceman who's just like, yeah, I'm the boyfriend and stuff, and he like does his little cold trick on Logan's hand, and then later on makes, you know, they uses the ice for to cool down Wolverine's Coca-Cola. Like he clearly is just trying to get into the good graces of Logan. I don't know. I think that all the characters are just used really, really well in this movie, and their relationships and the differences in every way are really well delivered. And it's a big reason why this movie's so good.
I selfishly want that kind of character dynamic and like multi-generational approach when we get to them in the MCU. Like I can see the argument for just starting with the original five and just kind of building out from there. But I think if we just kind of have all of these different generations, especially the Krakoa era of the comics, have really proved how effective that can be and how easy it can be to follow, even when everyone has all of these very convoluted histories. So I really selfishly hope that they do the same thing.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to follow this, the X-Men in general. That's
one of my main things, is that people are so married to this one. I don't know. I would not. Like, I laugh about, Jamie's heard me do this before, I pity that kid who's going to have to play Harry Potter. I pity that little actor, little 10-year-old. He's going to coach a little brown-haired little boy, and he's just going to be sitting there like, why does everybody keep asking me about freaking Daniel Radcliffe? We're the same height. Like, why are you doing this? You know? And it's just going to follow them. So I don't know what you're going to do with that. I would hope so, but all the rumors back in the day were that Feige likes that first five Angel, Beast, Cyclops, Wolverine, Jean thing. So that's I think that could be interesting. I love that weird part. Is that in Hickman where like they come from the past and they interact with the ones from the present, Jenna?
That was around the same time. I don't remember if it was exactly like canonical to the Krakoa era, but that definitely was like within the past couple of years. I can see the argument for just starting with the original five. It's just, I don't think we have the time to like be that slow and have as much of a slow burn with the approach to the X-Men. I think we need to just like get out of the gate and have as much fully fleshed out as we possibly can and then just have fun with it from there.
That's X-Men, a big movie. I hope that script's good.
Keep Simon Kinberg away from it. We'll talk about that more next week.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
There at the National History Museum when everybody froze, I thought it was great because you like talking about practical effects, man, you could literally see the people just kind of stand there wobbling a little bit. Like they're just people standing there supposed to be frozen. Hey, I don't mind it. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't mind it. You don't need crazy Matrix number of cameras to get these frozen people in place while the mutants move throughout them. But that was a cool effect that really showed Charles's power right out of the gate, too. I have a note here that I thought Stryker, played by Brian Cox, was gold. Great villain. I think Brian Cox is just such a presence on screen that I really hope one day we get to see the backstory between, you know, Wolverine and whatever Stryker did to him in that like water tank and all that stuff, and how he put the adamant, you know. I feel like that could be its own movie, right? That'll be awesome too. What else we got? Oh, Jamie, note that I thought of you when Wolverine pulled his claws out because the cat was behind him. I was like, oh man, he put himself through that pain just because there was a cat. We had a Kitty Pryde cameo when she dropped through the bed when the soldiers were raiding Xavier's mansion. That scene was great. That whole sequence was great. Just speaks to the action direction of this film and the pacing. We also had one of my favorite Colossus suit up moments, possibly the only one. I don't remember any other ones, but when Colossus was standing in the bedroom door frame and he turned from human to Colossus, I was like, damn, that was cool. And in that moment as a kid, I was like, he's my favorite character because that was so cool. But then he really doesn't do anything else. What else we got? The absolutely insane method of escape for Magneto was vicious. The injection of the iron into that soldier's booty cheeks, only for him to have it all ripped out of his body, was vicious, man. That's some good stuff. That's some intense stuff right there. Aaron is the one who likes the lighthearted, the fun. You know, how's that make you feel?
I mean, listen, after talking about Avatar Last Airbender, which is on Netflix for the last 5 days, I'm no stranger to bloodbending. That's old hat at this point. probably inspired by that scene. Funny enough, I imagine Brian Comisco and them were probably like, oh yeah, write that down, write that down. I also am hilarious. I feel like I find it hilarious because I'm older now. So I resonate a lot more with Magneto and them, like just being ruthless. Cause I was like, he was torturing them. Yeah. Like, oh, that guy sucked. So yeah, go ahead and rip the freaking iron out of his blood. It's cool. Like, who cares? The game is the game. You locked me in like a weird plexiglass prison. All right. Big bet. You're going to bleed out on this glass.
Stryker went in there with his glasses on, and then I'm pretty sure he had metal frames, and I was like, wait a second. Hold on now. Hold on 1 second. Earlier, before that sequence, obviously, I was like, couldn't Eric just put those through your skull right now?
I had the same question about Professor X's chair. I was like, wait a second. Oh. There's no metal and none of that at all.
Yeah. I believe he has like a plastic chair.
Really?
Okay.
But like, how's it working?
Pretty sure.
I think motorized.
Maybe he uses his brain to move it.
That would be sick.
I think it's a plastic. yeah. So, I think everything that looks like it could be metal is definitely plastic. They thought about it.
Sure.
It was a good opportunity to have all glass glasses on Striker, but they didn't. Another note, I just think that the action is tremendously, it paces the movie really well. You have great character moments interspersed. The Pyroverse police chase was great. The jet crashing was great. Nightcrawler using his powers to catch Rogue as she got sucked out of the jet, and then he catches her and brings her back. Awesome. Rogue, just great character altogether. But, you know, going back, and I feel like a simple love triangle is all we used to need back then in these days, whether it was, you know, just the tension of characters, you know, Are they gonna? I hope they do, but they're not. Oh no. Like whether it's Pepper Potts and Tony Stark in 2008 or it's Logan, you know, Sykes Scott and Jean in 2003. I think that adds a lot to it.
Give me the throuple in live action. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Yes, please.
I didn't invent it, BD, okay?
No.
It is canon.
Shout out to Hickman.
It is technically canon as of a couple years ago. So. BD is just speechless.
What else we got here? Oh, one thing I loved was Mystique sliding away through those doors, giving the middle finger.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Nice touch right there. Wolverine versus Lady Deathstrike. When she pulled the claws out of her nails, I was like, oh, nice touch. That's a good bit. It's a good bit. And so was Wolverine. He had the same thought. Wolverine's backstory, quite interesting. They should make a movie about that. Charles spent pretty much the whole movie alone. Like, Patrick Stewart was like on set with none of the main characters past the first few minutes of this movie.
And I didn't even think about that.
It's just still brilliant. And then the last few minutes as well. I think, and then I still made a fantastic movie. It's impressive stuff. Cause normally, well, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 just had Rocket unconscious through the whole movie. So that still worked. And we still call it a Rocket movie. It works. Good stuff. Pyro joins Magneto at the end. Oh my gosh. Whenever X-Ray comes out, I can't wait to see what happens there. Pyro clearly leaning towards the bad guy, the great line of dialogue when he's ready to take on the cops. And a Phoenix tease at the end there. Whoa, was that a Phoenix tease? Are we going to get the Phoenix Force in X3? Oh my gosh. Wow, is Jean still alive? Whoa. Those are my notes. Please take it from there, guys.
Jamie, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just have one quick thing. Because this is the first time I've ever noticed this, which was crazy because I've seen this movie so many times, is that at one point early in his cell, Magneto is reading The One's Future King. And then at the end, Professor X says to his students, so who's read The One's Future King? And I think that that is an interesting, just further connection between Eric and Charles and their friendship. But also, like, that is about King Arthur and his, like, you know, kind of rise to power. And I'm not 100% sure what that's signifying, if it's signifying Jean or what it's supposed to be. But it's definitely in there for a reason.
That's really interesting.
I think so. Charles also reading it later on when we get to Apocalypse. They do a callback to it in that too. So
I'm not familiar with King Arthur's story.
Really?
Wow.
Remind me.
Is this a bit? Is this a bit?
He pulls the sword from the stone, and he's got his round table. And my problem is that my number one King Arthur movie that I've seen the most is The Mists of Avalon, and that is not the correct King Arthur story. But Excalibur is the one to watch. Say it again.
You want to watch the definitive Charlie Hunnam version?
Oh, God. Watch the 1981 version. Patrick Stewart's in the 1981 version, Excalibur. Watch that.
I love that we were all like, is this a bit? We were all like, there's no way.
I was like, wait, what?
We still love you, BD. I have a couple cameos that are in the movie. Obviously, there is Dr. Hank McCoy is on the TV at one point, mm-hmm. but not the one that we're going to get later on, which is just kind of a funny bit. And then at the very end of the movie, Danny Moonstar and Cypher are among the kids that are being taught by Xavier, which is just really cute. And then I just wanted to acknowledge this because as somebody who has watched way too much DC television and television that is on the CW, the sets of this movie are very, very iconic among all of those shows. This is the first movie that uses the same mansion that would become the Luther Mansion on Smallville and the Queen Mansion on Arrow. So I am very, very familiar with that building. And then the final fight occurs in a space that a lot of the Arrowverse shows used. If you remember the very, very first teaser trailer for Legends of Tomorrow, they shot a whole sequence in that scene and it never ended up in the actual show. And then even like the lake at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that's where like the Blossom twins almost died in Riverdale. So it's very, very funny revisiting this with a lot of hindsight. So
it's all connected.
Yes.
Can I just say, like, it's not, this isn't like a thing, it's just from an observation. Yo, Bobby's family sucks, man.
Yeah.
Like, hey, stick yeah. his little brother rolling over on them is like hysterical, sir. Sir. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I read that Ian McKellen like consulted on that scene in terms of like coming out, like what it's like to come out to your family. And we all know that's what it comes like, you know, X-Men has always got that kind of underlining thing. And I think it's cool that Ian was like, let me help you. This is what it's like to come out. And I think that's neat.
Yeah. That it was a really well executed scene in like, just in terms of the message it was trying to send and how organically it fit into the plot of the story. So if you ever thought X-Men were not about some messages and doing what's right, well, I don't know. It's a weird time to start that argument in 2024, but this movie's 21 years old and they've been around a lot longer than that. I didn't know Ian McKellen sat in on that scene, though. That's really cool. It's really interesting. Bobby's brother needs to piss off, though. It sucks.
My man sucks. Yes.
It stinks. That kid stinks. Honestly, the whole family stinks. Have you considered not being a mutant? Are you? Shut up. You stink. all right. Anything else? Any other points in the movie you guys want to discuss?
The damn thing, my man has access to infinite resources and still chose to build it right there inside of it. Like, dog, you couldn't build this on the cliff facing it after watching Dominic Toretto meet some hardship on a dam. I was like, yo, you should not just make anything in the middle of this. So much can go wrong, like every action movie I've ever seen. So it's interesting, I guess, just how much these stories sort of impact and sort of influence the stuff that comes afterwards. And I'm like, how many damn set pieces have we seen in the last 20, 25 years?
So where I'm GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah.
Remind me of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of damn dams.
It's a lot.
Dam scene in the MCU?
Ooh. Guys?
I don't think we've ever had a dam be a factor in 900 titles from Marvel Studios.
I feel like if anything, it would have been on like one of the TV shows that like may or may not be canonical anymore.
Single dam in any of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jamie.
Nothing is ringing a bell.
Nick Fury was in one when he quote unquote died. But he died in Winter Soldier. He got shot.
Oh. Was that like his hideout, maybe?
He got sniped through a wall.
But they take him to like they take Steve and all of them to like his bunker that he's hiding out at. I think they're saying that was in a dam.
Oh, is that true? Let me
I don't remember that at all, and I love Winter Soldier, so.
Boy, howdy.
Even still, no dam is breaking.
Yeah.
Fury's hideout inside the dam. This is according to MCULocationScout.com. It just got a picture of what I can't. I don't see a dam. I see. I don't know. I believe you, Phil. Agent Carter. Was there a dam in Agent Carter?
I don't remember if there was.
The war count as a dam where the helicopter fell. Are we forgetting stuff? It's impossible.
No, nah, wait, hold on. The water didn't come from that in game, did it? Isn't that supposed to be upstate New York? Where's the dam at?
No, that was not a dam. That was like the impact, the explosions. Just they were in upstate New York, so I don't know where the hell the water came from, but it did.
See,
Doctor Strange was the dam. I think it was a lake though, and then I think the explosion put them below sea level basically. And then Doctor Strange had to try to hold it off and could not anymore. So.
Listen, we're not scientists. We watch Marvel movies.
Hey, I'm something of a scientist myself. I'm just kidding. I'm nothing but just a line of dialogue repeater.
Can I ask a random question?
Go for it.
I feel like some part of this feels like it's ripe for a revisit in ye olde Deadpool and Wolverine. There are like at least 2 to 3 things where I'm like, could they go back to this? Like Jean's choice seems like an oddly, like, oh man, it stuck out to me as like a flag of like, hey man, if I was Wolverine from some time period and I wanted to change one thing from my past that wasn't getting adamantium grafted to my skin or my bones against my will, saving her might be a thing, even though it would completely negate her agency. It would be problematic in its own right.
Well, but we'll get there. But Days of Future Past kind of retcons Last Stand anyway. So
yeah,
they make a Days of Future Past movie after this.
I'm okay. Spoilers. I do feel like it'd be silly if Deadpool and Wolverine did that when Days of Future Past kind of did that already.
I do think, if anything, they would retcon something from Last Stand, just because like that is like more notoriously disliked as a movie. And so I feel like that would be more of like a punchline for them.
That's so interesting. I don't know. Well, okay.
I feel like they could possibly, I think if they're going to revisit a sequence from this movie, which they very well might, because it is probably the most widely beloved X-Men movie, I think there's a chance it's got to be an iconic sequence that like stands out in your memory when you think of the film, which there's a couple. One of them is the pyro scene with the police cars. Also in that scene, Wolverine dies. So I feel like they could do a thing where he's going back, like whether he's killing Wolverines or recruiting, you know, different Wolverines. That is a pivotal moment for Wolverine where he gets shot in the head and dies. So maybe the pyro scene outside of Bobby's house. And maybe Deadpool will go up there and kill that little son of a bitch brother for us. Imagine that. Oh, man.
I feel like we're just writing fanfic now.
That's fine.
Well, we know Pyro's in the movie in some form.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we are just writing. This is the Phasia fanfic X2 review episode. All right, anything else from this before we get into our 10 scores? All right, quick break. We'll be right back for our out of 10 score. And then it's the official review when we get the average of it. See you in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The moment you've all been waiting for, the Phase Zero 10 out of 10 score for X2 X-Men United starts now. I usually go last. I'm going first. I don't care. 10 out of 10. I think this movie's great. I think this is one of the best Marvel movies ever made. I think it's one of the best X-Men movies ever made. I'll say this. It's not my favorite of the X-Men movies, but I do think it's probably the best or one of the best. We'll have to wait and see. I've said it before, but if you are just new, just keep listening to us every Monday to find out which one's my favorite. Masterfully made film. Jamie.
Oh, 5 out of 5. So 10 out of 10. Again, my favorite Marvel movie ever. And there are that expands to a lot of movies. So obviously I have to give it the highest score possible.
Man, yeah. I am like going to bring the ranking down a little bit out of a completely perfect score. I'm going to give it like a 8.5 out of 10. I still like thoroughly enjoy it. It might not be my absolute favorite of the Fox vs. movies, but I do agree that it is one of the best. And it, again, it might not even be in my like top 10 of favorite comic book movies, but I still do genuinely love it. So 8.5.
Aaron Perrine.
I've waffled on this quite a bit because I'm just like, even though I have certain like reservations about the deification of the past, it is a very well-crafted movie on its own. So if my ideological concerns about the fandom around the movie are not the film itself, so I'm gonna give it a 9. I think that one of the things I've had a lot of problem with in the last couple of months is I'm like, do we even deserve the X-Men? Do we even deserve it as a people? Like, the fan base acting so wild this whole last 5 years that I'm like, are you even going to be ready in a place to receive this the way it needs to be received in 2024? So all of that still remains, but a very well-crafted film.
Aaron and Jenna hate X2. But our score is a
9.75
out of 10. That's the official Phase Zero number for X2 X-Men United. I mean, this movie's just fantastic. The performances, the dynamics, the pacing. Uh-oh.
I need everyone to remember, if they think that our ranking is not high enough or whatever, remember our ranking for Madam Web, and like 3 out of 4 of us still thoroughly enjoyed that movie. So like 9.3 is pretty good.
Yeah, Jenna gave this movie 8.5. I'm like, oh, what a hater. An 8. That's still so high.
We were too kind on Madam Web. We ranked that movie, got a higher Phase Zero score than I will ever agree it should have. I will begrudgingly accept our 9.3, which will 9.375. Peter has to make a graphic. We're just gonna say 9.4 because we're just gonna round to the closest 0.1. 9.4 out of 10 for Phase Zero on X2. I think that's a pretty good. This is a very good movie. I'm not surprised we have it so highly ranked. I think this is going to be one of the higher ranked movies we ever review. I don't think we gave 10 scores to the first X-Men movie, did we?
We did not.
Well, no. We're not doing that now. I can't put everybody on the spot for that. Sorry, too much thought. So yeah, anybody in comment section, there's people watching live. Go ahead and drop your 10 score in the comments so we can see what everybody in the Phase Zero community thinks of X2. Aaron, any last words for today's Phase Zero rewatch, review, recap, breakdown, discussion of X2 X-Men United?
Just interesting to get back into these characters. Interesting to be trying to do this and watch X-Men 97, like what's it called, the anime series at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the very, very jarring differences, but some endearing similarities too. I also want to thank everybody who came to watch our panel at Virtuous Con over the weekend, talking with comic book creators about, you know, actually making these books. So appreciate that. Thank you guys.
Nice. Jamie.
Kind of piggybacking off of Aaron, I watched last night the entire Dark Phoenix arc of X-Men the Animated Series, so I am so ready to talk Last Stand next I could not be more ready to talk about that movie. I recommend, if I know a lot of people are also rewatching the animated series, so try to get to that before Monday, because a week from today, because they have extra hard feelings.
Jenna.
I agree. It is night and day, those two adaptations. I will argue the animated series has the best adaptation of the Dark Phoenix saga ever. So, but yeah, it's at Hey, It's Jenalyn on social media. And as always, go read some comics. If you liked any of the X-Men characters in this movie, go research their comic histories, because like I said, they all have very convoluted past that you can definitely dive into.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for hanging with us on a Monday or whatever day you're listening and watching. We appreciate you. We hope you had a good time. X3 next Monday is our retro review happening here on Phase Zero. Wednesday, we'll be back. We got a lot to talk about. We teased some of it in today's episode. We'll have all the Marvel Cinematic Universe news for you on Wednesday. Play our show for your mom. Play it for your dog. Leave a 5-star review. Anything to help us keep the wheels turning and the lights on and getting epic guests. We actually got some X-Men 97 stuff coming up here in a minute that I just got the email for before we did this show. So stay tuned to Phase Zero for more on that. See you there.